Well, good evening. Nice to be with you. And nice to bring the Word of God. It's always a privilege to read the Scriptures. And we give God thanks for the freedom we have to do that in this land. And we're going to read verses in Luke's Gospel and chapter 9. The Gospel according to Luke and chapter 9. And we're going to read firstly at verse 18. And it came to pass, as Jesus was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" They answering said, "John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man this that thing, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and the chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day." And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. But what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his death, his decease, his going out, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. And while he thus spake, there came a cloud that overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. God will bless these verses to us. Interesting situation in the life of the Lord Jesus. He's going from place to place with his disciples, and he has been with them for some time now, and he's beginning to emphasize upon them the fact that he is not here forever. And he started to speak to them about what he calls his exodus, and we'll think of that. But before that, he's with his disciples there, as we read, and he is praying, and he asks them, "What do the people say? Who do the people say that I am?" Well, we can ask that question tonight ourselves. Who do the people say that Jesus Christ is? It's there. And we would get many an answer, and I'm sure even in Leven and Buckhaven in the district here, as to who Jesus was and is. And so these men, these disciples, have with themselves. There are different people they're speaking about. They don't mention Moses' name, but they said one of the other prophets, and possibly they were thinking about Moses, and probably saying, Moses has come back again. And another one said, no, it could be Elijah that has come, that prophet of working for God that's there. It could be him that come. Or it could be John Baptist raised from the dead because he had been beheaded and died. And so there were a great concern as to who the Lord Jesus was. He could have been someone who was raised from the dead. And quite interesting to note that they did believe in the rising from the dead. They did believe in that, and that someone could come back again. People don't believe that these days. The Bible says it. We're going to look at it. Death doesn't end all. There is an afterlife after death. And when we depart this scene, we're going into one of two places, but we'll be know what's happening. There will be a different state of body, but we'll know exactly what is happening. And so the Lord Jesus said that. Said to Peter that day, well, okay, you people have told us who they think I am, but who do you say that I am? And Peter made that confession there before them. Thou art the Christ of God. You are the long-promised Christ of God, the Messiah, the one who is promised from eternity, the one who is coming to reign and to rule forever. And Peter, having observed him and seen his miracles, he was amazed when he couldn't get fish, and the Lord Jesus said, cast your net on the other side of the boat, and he got so many fish that the boat was sinking, and he had to call his friends. He saw the marvel, the power of the man that he was working with, and he recognized that this one was the Christ of God. And we need to come to that knowledge ourselves tonight, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not just a man. He is a man, a very real man, made with the same substance as you and I, but different in this, that he has not a sinful man. There is no sin principle in him. The Bible tells us that you and I, all of us, are born in sin, shapen in iniquity. We inherit it from our first parents who disobeyed God, who did their own thing, and sin entered into the world. Way back in the Garden of Eden there. And the Bible says all of us have sinned, but not so the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born pure. Nothing of Adam's sex was there. He was born of the Virgin Mary, born of God. And here is one, the Son of God, who has no sin in him and no sin on him, and who did no sin and was the pure and spotless Son of God. And he's walking there amongst men and women. And we need to recognize that fact tonight, that you and I are different from him in this fact. We have all sinned. But before us and our thoughts tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ, who never committed one sin, the sinless Son of God. And that is important. That is important. Because if he had sinned, he cannot die for our sin. For someone to rescue us from our sin, we needed someone who had no sin in him and on him, who was pure and spotless and sinless. And the Lord Jesus Christ fills that function. He is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And so these men were put forward as being great men, but Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And that's who we believe the Saviour is, and that's why we preach from here, the Saviour is the Son of God. And then very shortly after, it says, 6 days after these sayings, he taketh 3 of his disciples with him, and they go up into a mountain. And we read about that there in the mountain. It's called in some places the Mount of Transfiguration. That's the thing that happened up there in that mountain. And there he was alone up there, praying and speaking, and these disciples were observing who he was and listening to his prayers, no doubt, up there we'd love to have listened to the prayer of the Lord Jesus. We don't hear them praying very often in the situation. We do sometimes in the Bible, but not very often. But he was praying. And as he was praying, something happened on that mountain. He was transfigured, the Bible says. He was transfigured. Suddenly, before these men, who happened just to be sleeping at that point, unfortunately, was this. The Bible says the fashion of his countenance altered. They looked at him, and those looked at him, and there he was. His face was radiant, shining with the glory of God. His face was there. They looked at his garments, and one of the other Gospels says his garments were flashing with light. It was there. It was a scene of brilliance that we were looking at upon there. And we saw something they'd never seen before, and it never happened again to them as this. But the Lord Jesus Christ was transfigured before them. What a marvelous sight that they saw. And they remembered it. We do know that they remembered it, because later on in the Bible, when Peter is writing, he writes about it, about this scene, and he speaks about it there, and he said, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty upon that mountain." And as they looked upon the Saviour on that mountain, they recognized this, the majestic glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This one who came into this world, who was different from all others, and he was showing that the majesty and glory that he had with the Father before the world was. Something was radiated there in his countenance, in his face, in his garments, and they were there flashing like lightning, as the Bible says, and not there. John, he remembered it too, and he said that he was with them in the Holy Mount as well. He remembered this. These disciples, it stuck in their mind the greatness of this person who was there. And we want just to think about that. No other like him. No one to compare with him. He is altogether different. And as the Bible says, he is altogether lovely. He is the fairest of 10,000. And for those of us who have trusted him as our Saviour, he's the fairest of 10,000 to our souls. We give thanks to God for the Saviours who came. But there were others on that mountain scene there, and it's interesting just to see them, because it says that there, with the situation there, there were two men with him. And on that mountain was Moses and Elijah. Now these men had lived on the earth many years, hundreds of years before this happened. And they had lived at different times. There was hundreds of years between the two of them being on the earth. And here they are together, and they're there. Well, wonderful thing about them, Moses, we think of that dear man of God there. And what happened to him? Well, his life service came to an end. And the Lord said that he was going to die. He wanted to go into the land of the Jews. He wanted to go into that great place. And God was great to him, gracious to him. He took him up into this mountain, and he showed him all the land of Israel as we know now, the promised land. And he looked at it, and God says, "You can't go in there. You sin. And because of your sin, you're barred from going into that land," he said to him. And God took him, and he died. And the Bible says God buried him upon the mountain. And nobody knows the day of his burial, where he was born. But the wonderful thing is, although he died, and though he was buried, he's now alive. And he's on this mountain, the mountain of transfiguration, as we call it, in the land of the Jews. And he's there. And he's speaking with the Lord Jesus on that mountain. What does that tell you? And tells me that death doesn't end all. Or there's an afterlife there. There is an afterlife. And we need to remember that great fact, that we are in this life here now. We're not going to be here forever. But we're not just going to vanish into nothing. There is an afterlife. They're going to go from one of two places. The Bible is quite clear, there are only two places to go, of course. And like Moses, he went into heaven. And that's great, to know that we can go into heaven. But another verse in the Bible tells about a man, and he wasn't in heaven. The Bible says, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, a place of torment he was in. And so, there are two places. There is heaven, and there is hell. And the decision is ours, where we're going. We make the decision where we're going. And that decision is made by our attitude to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the way to know where we're going. Now, I am certain where I'm going. I know why. As a boy of 13, as an act of obedience, I believe that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And he died upon the cross for me. And as a young man of 13, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I need to get my sins forgiven. I believe that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he died to save me. And I confessed I was a sinner to Christ. I bowed my knee before him and said, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I take you as my personal Savior. I believe you gave your life for mine. Forgive my sins. And the Bible said, on the confession of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins will be forgiven. But there's a question we can ask ourselves right at this point in the meeting. Have I ever come to that point where I have confessed to God I am a sinner? Young men, young women, older men, we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. Well, there we are, and they're on this mountain, and I rejoice that I now know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm going to be with him when I pass off this scene. We all have to examine ourselves and ask ourselves the question, what about me? Where do I stand? Am I ready for that day? Well, there he is. Moses died. Moses was buried, but he's not away forever. And he's on the mountain, and he's preaching and speaking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's the other man there, Elijah. Well, he is a different type of man altogether from Moses. He is a preacher for God. He's a prophet, it says. And he's telling the people of Israel to come back to God in the situation. He was a queer-looking man, it would seem like this, in the way he was dressed. We know how Moses was dressed. The Bible tells us that. We know how Elijah was dressed when he was here. He wore a rough shod skin upon him. Probably a camel skin. He had that type of leather coat that was there. And he was preaching to the nation. He was a preacher of righteousness. And he was telling men and women about their sins and about coming back to God. And he was a man that was there. And you know, he had some wonderful preaching, and how he trusted God and saw God's hand in his life and saw him perform miracles in his life. And the preaching of Elijah was successful in many turning to God. But when Elijah's life came to an end, what was happening was this there. He chose out the person who was going to be after him as another prophet called Elisha. And there was Elijah and Elisha, and they were going walking together to the city. And Elisha knew that there was something going to happen. Elijah was going to be taken from him. And the point came this, that as they were walking, they crossed the river over there. And suddenly, a chariot of fire came down from heaven and took up Elijah and took him right up into heaven, and he never died. He went into heaven without dying. So he was there, and there in heaven was Moses, the man who died and is still living. There was Elijah. He's in heaven, and he's there too, because God just took him out of the world, saved him from this world. His service for God was finished, and he took him there. And so he's in heaven, and he's there, never having died. Isn't God gracious to us? Because God is gracious that this is going to happen again this is going to happen again. Because the Bible says that the Lord Jesus, who was speaking here and who was with them here, went to die upon the cross. He was there. That's what we were talking about on that mountain. What a strange subject to talk about. Talk about his death, his exodus, his going out. We don't usually sit and talk about our death. It's there. It's a good thing to do that. But there they are. They were talking about it. Because the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was different from all other deaths. Oh yes, there were many crucifixions outside Jerusalem. There were many heads and bodies outside there on the stone-faced rock that was there. But the Lord Jesus Christ was so different there. He was one who had never sinned. And death is the result of sin. He did not need to die. And by nature, he would not have died. But he chose to die. And the Lord Jesus Christ chose to die for your sin and my sin. There's a wonderful thing about that. He was able, because he was the sinless Son of God, he was able to die for our sin. And that's what the Bible teaches. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, according to the Bible. That's what happened. He died for our sins. And upon that cross, God made him accountable for the sin of all mankind worldwide. It's there. And so the sin of all mankind can be forgiven because Christ has died for us. But we need to acknowledge that sin, and we need to believe the message, and believe that the Son of God came from heaven so that he might give his life for you and me. That's what the message is all about. And the Lord Jesus Christ died upon that cross for your sin and mine. What a wonderful thing to know that provision has been made for our sins. We can't forgive our sins. We can't do that ourselves. Some would say that they would like to work for our sins and they would praise before God the merits of their life. We've not done this and we've not done that, and we have done this and we've done that, and we show how great our life is, it's there. And that's great amongst your neighbours and amongst their friends and their countrymen. That is true. We live a life that's upright and good, and that's great to know that. But you know, when God looks down upon us, God looks upon us as having sinned. All of us having sinned. And that is disobedience to God. Doing against God. Going against God. What he says, his word, and what he asks from us. And it's there. And we're all in that category. But it's great to know that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins upon that cross. And if we trust that message and take him as our Saviour, our sins will be forgiven. They'll be taken away because he paid the price for them. God made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, accountable for your sin and mine. Upon that cross, the Lord Jesus suffered at the hands of men. And we think of what he did to him, the cruelty of the human part, how they treated the Lord Jesus, nailed him to a cross, and all that they did to him there. But he went into a period of darkness, when at noonday, when the sun should have been shining in his strength, the world went dark. And the Bible tells us that in that time, in that darkness, God made to meet upon him the iniquity of us all. My sin, your sin. God laid it upon him. Sins of men that were past, sins of women that passed, children that were past, and sins of those that still had to come into the world. Here we are, 2,000 years after the death of Christ, and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is sufficient to save us from our sins and take away our sins by faith and trust in him. What a sacrifice he offered. And no wonder they spoke on that mountain top, Moses and Elijah with him, about his exodus, about what he was going to do. You see, our exodus from the world is not necessarily a triumph. In many ways, it's a defeat. And as we look at the situation around us, and we see some of these terrible things that have taken place even in the last day or two, we think of that. To think of the suffering that men and women are in. It's not a triumphant thing, is a death. It's a sign of weakness, a sign that we have no ability to go on forever. But not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. His death was an act. He laid down his life. That's what the Bible says. He laid down his life for his sheep. And the death of Christ is such, and the value of it is such, that he can forgive our sins tonight, each and every one of them, by faith in him. And that's the question we've got to ask ourselves as we sit here. Has there been that moment in our life's experience when we've given our life to Jesus Christ? We've trusted him. We sometimes sing in the hymn, "Only trust him, only trust him. He will save you now." And he can do that, even now. At this moment, as we sit in our seats, if we've never done it up to this time, we can confess to God. You don't need to say it out loud, you can say it in your heart. "I'm a sinner. I believe that Christ died for my sin. And I'm going to accept the Lord Jesus. Christ is my Saviour." And the Bible says you're saved. You're saved. And the moment you do that, you'll know you're saved. The moment you do that there, it's a transaction that is immediate. It's immediate. And you'll know that your sins are forgiven through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there were these men up there, and they're talking about the value of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're speaking about his exodus. Elijah, he was taken away to heaven in a whirlwind that's there. Moses, the work of God was there, that he buried him in the mountain. But he is alive. And they're speaking about not their death. Great as they were, they were speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he would accomplish upon the cross at Calvary for your sin and mine. That's a marvelous thing. I wonder tonight if we've reached that point in our life's experience when we've bowed before the Lord Jesus Christ and said to him, "Lord Jesus, I believe you've come from heaven for me. I believe you died for me upon that cross at Calvary. My sins that are many, you can take away. You can give me new life. You can give me your life." And if we just speak to God and that, believing that Christ died for me, you can be saved and be saved tonight. What a glorious thing it would be if someone was to pass from death to life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it can happen now. Let's pray. We give thanks, Father, for the greatness of thy power. The greatness of the work that was accomplished when the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary. We give thanks that his sacrifice is sufficient for the whole world. And oh, Father, may we just be able to know that we trust him as our Saviour. And if up to this point we haven't confessed our sin and put our faith in him, may we just do it in the quietness of our heart, in the quietness of the meeting, confess before God and trust him as our Saviour. May your blessing rest upon us, each and every one that's here. Thou knowest all of us. Thou knowest where we stand before thee. Thou knowest where we are in the world, our families and our friends. And we would pray for them all tonight, Father, and ask your richest blessing to be upon it and upon us. And as we continue in thy presence, may your blessing rest upon us. And as we have a cup of tea together, Father, we just give thanks for those who have provided this for us, and we just offer our thanks for it and ask your blessing on it. And as we look at the work in Zambia and see some of our friends there, may your blessing be manifested in that too. So we give our thanks and seek your blessing in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.